Good morning, everybody. We're starting a study today on codependency, and it's based off of some research that I've been doing by June Hunt, and just wanted to connect with you on that. It seems like this is a really big problem, and so what I really thought we would do is do a study together and kind of talk about what this is and what God has and kind of debunk some of the mystery around what it truly is and how to have a godly perspective. So a lot of people don't truly even understand what codependency is. And so we're going to start there, and we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about this and get God's perspective on this, because I think what you'll find is you may find that you need prayer for this. Maybe you have this issue in your life, or you know somebody that does, because it seems like it's so widespread. And so it was brought to my attention as I was speaking with another coach. She mentioned that she had a resource. I was mentioning a particular situation, and she said, "Oh, I've got a resource." And I started reading, and I thought, you know what, this might be a really good opportunity to share this. Normally, I don't go through like a book study or do that. I just do what the Lord lays on my heart. But He laid on my heart to go through this study, so we're going to do this together, and if you have additional prayer requests or praise reports throughout the week, feel free to message me privately, or you can do that through the Christian Direct Seller Facebook page as well. Let's open in prayer, and then we'll jump in. Father God, thank you so much for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that we can rest in you. Lord, I praise you and thank you for the expected rain that we have coming to San Antonio, Lord, for 15 days in a row. It's unbelievable that we would have that much rain. So, Lord, I pray that it would be a rain that would be sweet, that it would be soft and gentle like your love and your care is, Lord, that it would restore some of the drought that we've had, Lord. And we just know that rain means prosperity, and that means your favor being poured out on us. So, Lord, we just praise you for that. Lord, I pray that you would speak through my mouth of clay, Lord, that you would help me to convey your message to your people, that they would have your understanding about this issue, and, Lord, that you would bring healing and restoration to relationships and to individuals as we go through this process together. Father, we love you and thank you and are looking forward to the revelation that you will have for each one of us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't think I mentioned this at the beginning of the call. I know some of you know me all of the time. You're on each and every week, and I appreciate that so much. But some of you may be new. My name is Becky Spieth, and you can always find the replays for these calls on BeckySpieth.com, S-P-I-E-T-H. And you can go to the free resources tab, and there's prayer calls there. And I do have other calls there that are listed with title. I realize we've been doing this for over 5 years now. So praise the Lord that He honors faithfulness, right? And so just so thankful that many of you I've known for this entire time, and that you're very faithful to get on the calls. You've shared it with other people. And I just want you to know how much I consider it an honor to be able to study with you and to pray for you each and every day through those 5 years. Let's talk a little bit about codependency, because a lot of people don't understand what it truly is. And, if it's mentioned in the Bible, and if so, how do we handle this and things like that. One of the biggest areas of concern that I have around codependency is that many times it's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. And Exodus 20, verse 3 says that you shall have no other gods before me. And I know you're thinking, like, well, I'm not worshiping an idol or anything like that. And many times people feel that they're broken or something's really wrong with them. People have even said codependency is a mental illness. And so I'm not here to put a label or a judgment on any of that, but I do know that God promises that if we would make our relationship with Him our top priority, that He would bless our lives, and through our other relationships, we'd be a blessing to other people, and we'd be blessing them. And the primary problem with codependency is that it violates the heart of God's first commandment, that he doesn't want anything or anyone else to separate that relationship that we're to have with Him. in a codependent relationship, what happens is we allow someone else to take the place that God alone should have in our hearts. And what we need to keep in mind is that when we allow another person to be our God, or and I know some of you think, well, you know, I'm not worshiping them. Well, it's just that the placement has been a little skewed or misplaced. What's happened is you've misplaced your dependency, and you won't have peace. You won't have peace with God or the peace of God that goes without understanding inside of your heart. But when we put the Lord first, living each day depending completely and solely on Him, we're going to have God's peace, even when others aren't peaceful towards us. And I know that that's the reason why He says that you shall have no other gods before me. And for many of us, if we're women, we've placed our dependency many times on our husbands, where we say, well, no, I'm relying on you for everything. Or, you know, you need to provide this for me. And we put these expectations on another individual. And it can be your spouse, your significant other. It could be your children. It could be your parents. It could be a friend. It doesn't just go into one space, right? And what happens is there's, in a codependent relationship, there is something that's called an enabler. And an enabler is when you perpetuate another person's destructive behavior by protecting that person either from the painful consequences that could actually serve as a motivation for change, or you allow them to be in a situation that that can enable, thus being called an enabler, to allow a bad habit, and so or something like that. So it could show up that you're an enabling parent allowing your teenager's drug habit to continue with no repercussions, or enabling wife calls her husband's boss to maybe say that he's got the flu and it's a hangover. I mean, those are some extreme situations, but it could also be that you allow unhealthy behavior in your home or in your business and allow people to continue to do that. So let me ask you this question before we really jump in and get going. How many lies have you told to protect the reputation of somebody with a destructive habit? How many excuses have you made? Right? Maybe you're like, oh, well, I haven't lied. Well, how many excuses have you made? Oh, well, I know that he's got a good heart. Oh, well, I know that, you know, it's really not that bad. It's only once in a while that they smoke weed or whatever it is. The Lord tells us in Proverbs 24:24 that whoever says to the wicked that you are in the right will be cursed by peoples and abhorred by nations. We don't want that for those that we say that we truly love, right? So what happens many times is we create a compromise in your conscience in order to comply or maybe to be, you know, at peace at any price. Maybe you're just trying to appease someone else, or you put up with the chaos in order to avoid the conflict. Many times this happens, and that's being codependent. And sometimes what you find is the relationships can be so exhilarating, but they can also be a fearful relationship as well. Lots of times there's roller coasters and lots of ups and downs, and many of us just want to get off the ride, right? And to be honest, we know a lot of times that something's wrong in the relationship and something needs to change. But many times, if we're really honest, we find ourselves in a desperately needy place of connection. Or we might find ourselves with a deathly fear of rejection, where we just feel like we just would be completely rejected and that we wouldn't be able to have the relationship that we have or somewhat of the security that we feel. And instead, we stay in these relationships that are unhealthy instead of producing a healthy relationship and getting back into alignment with what God really has. I know that many times in these situations, friends threaten to leave. Spouses threaten to leave. They threaten to hurt someone else. Many times we find ourselves begging, pleading, and we'll promise whatever is necessary in a desperate attempt to stay connected to the friend or to the other people in the relationship. And many times the immense fear of being abandoned will lead you to a long season of insecurity. So instead of you know, having more of a sense of security, it does exactly the opposite. The enemy comes in and he starts twisting things. Many times we view our loyalty as noble, like, oh, I'm loyal to a fault. If you find yourself loyal to a fault, you're definitely in a codependent relationship. By prioritizing exclusive loyalty to a person, what happens is we relinquish our highest loyalty to the Lord. And many times, we don't even realize that these high and low swings are not normal. Many of us grew up in situations where, and I'm not blaming parents, please don't get me wrong when I'm saying this, we are all on this study to gain more clarity and take our own responsibility and create healthier lives and healthier relationships ourselves, okay? But many of us don't realize that it's not normal, that the highs and the lows are not how normal relationships are. Many times we saw it in our parents. Maybe there was threatening or there was a complete dominance of one person over another. Many times there were situations where they would try to keep peace at any price or make excuses. Now, I want you to know that I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a counselor. I'm just a woman that's studying the Word of God and reading and trying to help make a difference. I am a credentialed coach, but this isn't coaching what we're doing today. This is just a discovery so that we can serve and become into a healthier and closer relationship to the Lord and make sure that we can set some of those boundaries that God has outlined in the Word to have healthy relationships. What happens sometimes when we see this type of relationship where, and for this instance and this example I'm going to use, where the father maybe might be domineering over the mother and make threats, and it might continue to scare the mother, or she might become codependent, or to the point where it could even cause massive insecurity or mental illness or being unsure about situations. And those kind of situations are a breeding ground for codependency. What happens many times then is one of the children will become loyal to the mother because they see her as the victim, and that will become their highest priority in life, even if it meant lying to protect her, doing whatever it took. Knowing that you were going to be responsible for your mom, even if you were kicked out on the street, that you would be the one that would sacrifice your life and lay it down, quit school, do an extra job, whatever it took in order to make sure that your mother was cared for, where you felt responsible for their welfare, and it was kind of that do or die situation. What happens is there's role reversal. At that point, codependency also can come in. Many times you find yourself in a place of excessive loyalty because the highest loyalty was to a person and not to the Lord, is where that codependency comes in, and the enemy comes in and he twists and he turns, and it makes it very hard for you or me to be able to determine what is a healthy relationship. And many times the relationship becomes controlling, manipulative, and many times we come into this space of fear, and we don't want to have that. Many times, without even knowing it, we let a person take the place of the Lord that only he should have. In order to move away from a codependent relationship or dynamic, it's a difficult thing to go through. And it may take longer than you expect, but the first thing that we want to do is we want to shed light on darkness, don't we? We want to say, Lord, search my heart. Is that in any of my relationships? Because what we want is we want pure hearts before the Lord. There's an indescribable peace that comes when we learn that our security is in the Lord and when our own relationships are right in God's sight. And I know that you can be free and I can be free of these situations. I want you to know that as we go through this study and we work this together, that you're going to discover how to get out from underneath that trapped feeling that might be plaguing you and might have plagued you for a long time. And I want you to know that my sincere prayer is going to be that the Lord's going to create in you an undivided heart, that you're going to have complete dependence on him. You're going to see your value and your worth in your own life that the Lord places on you. I'm going to ask him to give you a new heart, to set you free and to live without fear. I want you to have a pure heart so that you can be the person that God created you to be. Psalm 51:10 tells us, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. When God gave us those Ten Commandments that we talked about earlier, that we should have no other gods before us, he knew that if we'd make our relationship with him the top priority, that he would bless our lives and our relationships. And the primary problem with codependency is that it violates the heart of God in that first commandment, right? And we're never going to have the peace that we really truly seek, that peace that goes beyond understanding. I want you to think about somebody that was in the Bible, and we've all heard the story about Samson and Delilah, right? Samson was handpicked before he was even born by God, and what it was is he was handpicked to impact all the people around him. Well, I want to tell you the same thing has happened in your life. God chose you. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us this. Before you were even in your mother's womb, that he wants you to, he's called you as a prophet to the nations. He's called you because he wants you to impact the people around you. And that you've been chosen to be a liberator in the land where you are. You've been chosen to have the respect of the people around you. You've been chosen as the person that can bring light, or you wouldn't be on this call. Okay? But what we also know, just like in Samson's life, God sometimes doesn't spell out all the specifics. Samson had some really specific things. So I think, well, how could he not have got the message, right? Like, it was very specific. He had a Nazarite call on his life, and he was then told, don't cut your hair. And I thought, well, if it was that easy, all I had to do was not cut my hair, I could figure that out from God. Well, maybe, maybe not. We're not here to judge Samson, but to look at his life. He told him exactly what to do in order to protect his power and safeguard his strength. I want you to know, though, that you've got that same power. You've got that same strength inside of you. You've got the Holy Spirit living in you. Well, then what happens is, we hear some amazing stories of success. Like, you know, they were spreading like wildfire about him. And he was feeling pretty good and kind of on the top of his game and really felt like he was serving God and doing what God wanted him to do. And then walks in Delilah, right? Beautiful woman. You know, the thing was, she just wanted to know the secret. She didn't really love him, I don't believe. Or maybe she grew up in a dysfunctional family either. I'm not really sure. But I do know that God said to Samson, don't tell. Have you been in a situation where God told you a secret and he said, don't tell? Yet you feel torn? You want to please God, but you also want to please that other person, the Delilah in your life, who's maybe asked you to disclose a source of your strength or something that's been asked of you not to share, and you say that you won't. You try to resist, but the more that you do, the more that they beg after you. They might cry after you. They might prod after you. They might plead after you. I mean, if you haven't seen this lately, just walk into Walmart, okay? The kids are doing this. We've taught our children to do this. And then we wonder why everyone's acting as if they're codependent. You might find yourself in the Delilah dilemma. As you try to take care of, her feelings, you cave into the manipulation. Finally, you confide that your strength is in your obedience to God, and it's never in cutting your hair or whatever it is for you. Big mistake. What happens is it leads to unimagined misery. He thought he was going to get her to be quiet and not bug him anymore, and he thought it was going to bring him closer in their relationship, but that wasn't the case because what she did is she told the enemy. They cut his hair, and he became captive. However, the biggest mistake is not what you did. You let Delilah be your God instead of letting God be your God, right? This whole story is found in Judges 13-16, if you're curious. If Samson had not been so dependent on pleasing Delilah, being a people pleaser, if he wasn't a codependent people pleaser, he wouldn't have lost his strength, his status, his sight. He wouldn't have lost his spiritual insight. maybe some of yours is goddamn as well. Ultimately, what happened is was his dependence led to his disobedience, which in turn led to his downfall. And in truth, Samson's pride caused his own downfall because he prioritized the words for Delilah over the words of God. Proverbs 18:12 says, "Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor." A dependency is a reliance on something or someone else for support or existence. You almost feel like you have to have this in order to live. A dependency can either be negative or positive, such as being dependent on, you know, cocaine, being dependent on someone else's approval, or being dependent on Christ. You kind of feel like it's necessary for your life and your life force. A dependency can be an addiction to any object, behavior, or person that represents an underlying attempt to get emotional needs met. They say, like, you know, I must do this in order to meet my needs, in order to make me happy. You can be codependent on objects like a chemical addiction to drugs, alcohol, tobacco, cocaine, a sexual addiction, maybe erotica items. Maybe it's behaviors, an addiction to a behavior that appears to be bad, those who are not widely socially acceptable, like gambling or excessive spending or compulsive eating or something like that. It could be the addiction to behaviors can appear to be good, those that are widely socially acceptable. Maybe it's perfectionism, workaholism, caregiving, anorexia, bulimia. I mean, many things that we just think like, oh, well, I'm a workaholic, and we laugh about it. Well, let's look at that behavior. Is that a codependent addictive behavior? Many times it's around people, a love addiction in which you feel that your identity is in the other person. A weak love addict is emotionally dependent on someone that's strong. Maybe you have a savior addiction in which you feel that your identity is in your ability to meet the needs of another person. So maybe it's in the fact that a strong savior needs to be needed by someone weak, like you want to save someone. Because addictions provide a momentary high, good feelings are associated with them. However, the book of Proverbs gives us a really strong warning. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Proverbs 14:12. Now, I want you to know that there really isn't anything wrong with depending on people if it's a healthy interdependence on other people, in the sense that we should value and enjoy each other, love and learn from each other, but we shouldn't be totally dependent on each other. Essentially, this kind of relationship involves a healthy mutual give and take where neither person looks to the other one to meet each and every need. However, many people have a misplaced dependency on other people. These kinds of relationships are not healthy, for God intends us to live in total dependence on Him, right? Over and over, the Bible portrays how godly people learn to have a strong dependence on the Lord rather than a weak dependence on each other. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 1:9, "Don't rely on ourselves, but only on God." I want to make sure that we have time to pray this morning. Hopefully our lesson, we're just getting started on truly understanding about codependency, and I hope that the message has touched your heart. We're going to continue on this over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about and finish up what really is a biblical dependency that God wants us to have. And we're going to be talking about what are the common codependent relationships in our lives. We'll be doing that next week, as well as who are codependent people and what's a codependent relationship. I'm even going to give you a test that you're going to be able to check off and check to see if you might have codependent tendencies. We're going to learn in the future about the causes of codependency, what some of those roots and the repeated cycles might be. And what's the most dangerous thing about dependency? And then I'm going to give you steps to solution. We're going to be talking about confronting your own codependency, looking at your past love addictions, as well as getting on the road to healthy interdependent relationships and help you find that road to freedom. I appreciate you being with me today. And before I go to prayer, I want to give you one verse just to kind of hang your hat on for this week, and it's Galatians 1:10. "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. The Lord wants us to serve one another and help one another, but we want to make sure that it's in a very healthy way, right? A good example of this is Galatians 6, 1 through 5. We're going to look at that scripture next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much that you've given us each other, that you tell us in your word that we're supposed to build each other up and we're supposed to confess our sins one to another, Lord, and that you will heal us. So, Father, I pray that you will help us to align our relationships now with your word and what you would like for us. Lord, that we would not be in a place of codependency, but that you would give us strength to only depend on you. Lord, we ask forgiveness for the unhealthy relationships, whether it was knowing or unknowing, and ask that you just bring unity to our heart, Lord. Bring it back to you, that you would be our God alone. I break any ungodly soul ties in the name of Jesus that we may have with those that are ungodly. Father, I ask that you would prevent the disruptions in Marilyn's home, that she can work her business, that she can serve you with a heart that's uninhibited, that is, she's not torn from one distraction to another. And Father God, I pray for Dawn, and we just want to lift up her as she's going to be leaving for her incentive trip soon, Lord, and we just want to praise you that you work out all the details in her life, that you know the hairs on her head. Keep her son safe. I pray, Lord, that this is a time that as he's bonding with this mentor that he has, Lord, that it's a time that will be creating memories for him as well, that he would grow closer to you, that he would be protected, that he would feel strong and strengthened in you. Lord, I pray that you will just bless Gloriella with another 50 years of life, Lord, and we're just so thankful that she is in our lives, Lord, and know that you've got a great plan for her. Lord, I ask that you would help her to find a way to see more people in her business, that she would not look for the things that she cannot do, but for the ways that she can do her business, that there would be more sales, there would be more recruits, that favor would go out before her. And Lord, I ask in regard to her inheritance, Lord, that you would help her find her mother's attorney, that you would smooth this out, that it wouldn't be drug out, Lord, that it would happen even today. Give her the tenacity to push through, to fight for what is hers. And Lord, I pray that you will be with Frank as he's in this space, Lord, where he's in his last chance with the chemo, Lord, and they're meeting with the doctor on Thursday for the report. So I ask, Lord, that you would bring healing and health to him, that he would not believe the lies of the enemy, that Bob and Jeannie would be able to speak life into his life, that they would be examples of your love and your grace, that they would not believe the lies of the enemy. And Lord, speaking of health, we bring Carol's mom to you, Lord, as she's been diagnosed with the congestive heart failure. So, Father God, I pray that you would regulate her heartbeat, that you would restore her to complete health, or that you would do whatever will glorify you. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each family that's represented here, each life, each relationship, Lord, and ask that you would bless them. Thank you for this time, Father, that we could come and worship you and learn more about how to be in proper relationship with you. Forgive us for putting anyone or anything as a God before you. Lord, we ask that you would help us to commit our lives, and we commit our lives again to you afresh and anew, that you would be the Lord of our life. Thank you, Father, for your love and your grace, your protection, your mercy. Help us to raise our families, Lord, with great expectation and healthy relationships that they'll serve you. I love you and I thank you. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take care, everybody. Make it a great week, and I'll be with you next week. If you know others that this might help, know that the replay will be posted by tomorrow on BeckySpeeth.com underneath the resource tab, but feel free to invite them to join us next week as we continue the study on codependency and truly learning to depend on God. I love you, and am so thankful that you were here again this Monday morning, and I'll be with you next week. Take care, everybody. Bye now.